Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And as we begin this, not really begin, but we're still in the second week of Lent, let us very, very clearly take stock of where we are. Take inventory. How necessary that is every day right now. Not navel-gazing, but just honestly. Am I following the Lord? Where am I not following the Lord? What do I need to do about that? Because you are so infinitely loved, and every human being is drawn to genuine love. Every human being. And so it is amazing to me sometimes how the very source of all love we want to distance ourselves from, because we want it on our terms. We want it the way that satisfies us in our flesh. And yet here is the living God opening his heart to you, saying, come follow me. Walk with me during my passion. Walk with me in the crucifixion. Walk with me. I did it for you. I think that's very, very important during this Lent, that we look at that, that God went through what he went through, yes, in obedience to his Father, but it was for us that made heaven possible. So please, brothers and sisters, open your heart. Take seriously this season. I know you might have to do it, so to speak, on the fly, but just a half hour a day. Or if you can't do that, start out with 15 minutes. If you can't find 15 minutes, you're too busy. And God understands there are periods and times like that in our lives, our jobs, etc., that we need to feed our families and to care for them. I understand that. But carve out some time. Take inventory with God, please. And then, hopefully, during these programs, you'll be able to see how you can take what I'm saying and apply it to your situation that can help you, can be a guide, can be a support to you in your journey to God. We read this morning from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 18 to 20. The people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem said, come, let us contrive a plot against Jeremiah. It will not mean the loss of instruction from the priests, nor of counsel from the wise, nor of messages from the prophets. We just want to get rid of this one person. Because why? Because he's speaking the truth to them and they don't want to hear it. And so they say, let's contrive a plot against him. We'll still have instruction from the priests because nobody will know who did it. We'll still have counsel from the wise. We'll still get messages from the prophets. So let's destroy him by his own tongue. Let us carefully note his every word so we can find one word that we can twist. See, that's a malignant hatred. And that comes from the pit of hell. Here's Jeremiah preaching the word of the Lord. Let us see what we can do to destroy him. How many times does that happen to us, that we get so angry or so bitter towards someone that we want to see them destroyed? So if we can't destroy them physically, we'll destroy their reputation. Brothers and sisters, even if the other person did evil, that's not what God would do. That's not what his children would do. See, we want to take revenge because we think if I take revenge, if that person is punished, then I'll be satisfied. We never are. We never are. So what we need to deal with is our own resentment. How do I deal with that? Taking it to the Lord, asking the Lord, teach me what to do with this. Help me. Walk with me. Show me the path. Read the scriptures every day. Go to confession frequently so that your mind and your heart, your spirit are clear, and God will lead you. I'll say more about that in the future. Now, Jeremiah now responds. He says, "Heed me, O Lord. Listen to what my adversaries say. Must good be repaid with evil, that they should dig a pit to take my life? Remember that I stood before you to speak in their behalf, to turn away your wrath from them." He was an intercessor before God that these people would be spared God's wrath. He prayed for them, and now they've turned on him. How often that happens. Perhaps not in these exact circumstances, but how often it does happen that we try to do good for another, and for some reason or another, they begin to see us as their enemy and they strike out against us when we have in the past been working for their good. Difficult. Psalm 31, "Save me, O Lord, in your kindness. Save me. You will free me from the snare they set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O God. O faithful God." I hear the whispers of the crowd that frighten me from every side as they consult together against me, plotting to take my life. But my trust is in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. In your hands is my destiny. Rescue me from the clutches of my enemies and my persecutors. If you're in a situation like that, where people are falsely accusing you and trying to attack you, pray Psalm 31. "Teach me, Lord, show me, help me, Lord. Come to me, for you're my refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit." I turn to you. You are the source of help for me. Oftentimes, we turn to everybody and everything else before we turn to God. Turn to God first. Doesn't mean you can't ask for help from other people, but turn to God first. Rely on him, and he will use people to help you. And the gospel, Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 28. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and he said to them on the way, so they're walking, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." Here's Jesus telling them what awaits him in the sense of the horror that awaits him. But he's saying he will be raised on the third day. Now, right in the midst of saying something like that, what happens? Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she answered him, look at the self-serving here. "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." And Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" And they said to him, "Oh, we can. Oh, yes, we can." And he replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." Think of that. We don't appoint ourselves God's followers. He calls us if we respond to God. We can become his followers, his disciples, more and more being shaped like him. But why is this mother asking that her son, she wants places of honor for her son. She wants titles. She wants to be able to be proud of them. And any mother or any father would want to be proud of their children. But look at what she's asking. And look at the moment she's asking it when Jesus is revealing what is going to happen to him. Most people would run away. And right in that moment, and she doesn't understand all this. She doesn't hear all of that. But it's the pride of a mother who wants places of title and honor for her sons. But Jesus says to her, can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink? And he says it to these, and they said, oh, we can. And he replied, my chalice you will indeed drink. But to sit at my right and my left, that is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. Okay, we've got that. Then when the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. What do you mean your mother's going in there and trying to get you a place of honor? They were indignant with them. But Jesus summoned them. So they're fighting, they're bickering among themselves. And Jesus has just told them that he's going to be condemned to death and he's going to be mocked and scourged and crucified. You know, sometimes I want to say, poor Jesus, from a human point of view. That's hard when your closest disciples are now arguing about what their place is in the kingdom rather than caring for their friend. But Jesus summoned them, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. See, brothers and sisters, the human condition wants to look for places of title and honor, recognition. We want people to be grateful to us and honor us and thank us. It's our pride. We want it. But what Jesus is saying, whoever is my servant, whoever follows me, whoever wishes to be great, has to be willing to be a servant. Has to be willing to put the needs of others before their own. Has to be willing to repent of their sin when they see it and acknowledge their guilt. Our relationship with God needs to be straightforward. At the same time, God in his mercy knows the pain we suffer, knows the difficulties we have. What we want to do is then draw closer to God, lean on him, stay as close to him as you can, imitate him. Then you will know the nearness of your God that will sustain you through sometimes very difficult things. Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Is your attitude one of service in your job, at home with your family, among your friends? Are you willing to serve? And in a certain way, are you willing to die to yourself for the good of others? Are you willing to give your life as ransom for many? Give your life not necessarily in death, though it could mean that, but give your life in the sense of putting others first before yourself. Now, there are times when we need to put ourselves first, but not day in and day out. Open your hearts, brothers and sisters, to what God is calling you to do. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.